Morning, and thank you all for being here. It's good to see you again. It seems like forever since I've been here. And I want to thank you for your prayers and cards and notes of encouragement. That was such a blessing as I went through a difficult time in my life. One of the cards that somebody sent me said, some people will do anything for attention. That kind of caught me. You said they knew me pretty well. Thank you, Sharon. I can tell when I'm among friends. I deserve everything I get, my wife says, so praise the Lord. It was on Monday, January 21st, that I probably had the biggest surprise of my life. At 150 pounds, 5'8", and 150 cholesterol number, I never expected a heart attack. But Monday evening, while away from home, I had pain in my chest, and I knew immediately that it was a heart attack. And after a 20-minute drive to the hospital, thank God I was in the hospital when I flatlined, and they were able to bring me back, start my heart again, and shortly after that, they put 3 stents in my heart. One of them was a widowmaker, so I should be dead, but the Lord had other plans. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what that is, but I'm back to doing what most I've done and made a few changes. My wife says I should cut down on hot dogs, but that's not going to happen. What's life without eating your favorite food? Maybe a few less. Another change I made was thinking that life is short and I perhaps would not be here except the Lord's will. And so I decided to spend more time with the Lord each day. And to make me do that, I decided to write down my thoughts as I read my Bible each day. Instead of just thinking about the Lord, I would write those things down and share them with my family each day, fill up their inboxes, and they can do with it what they want. It makes me spend more time with the Lord writing those thoughts down. But one thing I am glad of, and that is I have the assurance that if I had died, I know I'd be with the Lord. Amen. That's a great joy and a great satisfaction to have that assurance. However, some people ask me, because my heart stopped, if I had one of those out-of-the-body experiences. And what I saw when my heart stopped. Someone said, if you saw black, that's a bad sign. A doctor talked to me and said, what did you see? He said he had a patient that saw all sorts of demon faces when his heart stopped. He said, what did you see? I said, well, the truth is I'm probably going to have to trust the Word of God for assurance of my eternal destiny, because it's just like you turned the lights out. It went black. But I don't take that as a bad sign. I take that as my heart stopped. And I didn't happen to have one. I'm not against those that had those experiences. I just didn't have one. But it didn't shake my faith, but it did encourage me to warn people, because life is short. And my life could have been over. I'm glad it wasn't. Glad for my wife's sake that I'm still here, can pest her and pick on her. But I'm glad. But writing those thoughts down each day does help me to prepare my heart and focus on that which is important in life. Because when life is over, we're either in heaven or hell. And I believe that knowing the Lord as my Savior, I would be in heaven today if it wasn't the Lord's will for me to be here. And so spending more time with him seems like the right thing to do. And in doing that, writing them down, I decided to take one of those this morning and expand it and make it into a message. So that's what you're getting today in Proverbs chapter 2. If you'll turn there, you've just read the first six verses. And to keep my thoughts each day short so that my family will read them and not be bored, I try to just take one verse out of each chapter of the Bible and jot down some thoughts. But the verse 6 is what I'd like us to focus on today. It says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." The verse tells us that the source of wisdom is God, is the Lord. It says, from his mouth comes wisdom, understanding, and so I had to look back in the verse a little bit and in the chapter and find some other things. But let me just say, first of all, I had to look up wisdom to make sure I understood what it is. Wisdom, according to Google anyway, wisdom, the quality of experience, knowledge, and common sense. And of course, the flip side is foolish or a fool. And Google says that it's a person or action that's unwise. Well, that doesn't really define anything to say it's unwise, but it went on to say that it lacks good sense or judgment. And so it is interesting. I read a quote a while back that said there's a saying that a fool can appear to be wise as long as he doesn't open his mouth and confirm the fact. So I don't know what I'm doing up here today. If I kept my mouth shut, I'd probably look wiser than I am today. But since wisdom comes from God, we should probably stick to the Word of God. And that makes anybody look wise as long as we know the source of wisdom. That's what we want to do today. Wisdom, truth, knowledge, and understanding comes from God. It is interesting to me that science and all of the study of science, they are discovering things that God already knew. Isn't it interesting, the new medicines? And I told my wife, I think I'm becoming a druggie now. I think I take, 7 pills in the morning and 5 in the evening. It's like, wow, my pill box gets full each day, and I dump it out and put it on a spoon, and it's like, I feel like I'm on drugs for sure. But the doc says, you're going to take them all of your life unless you want to die quick. So anyway, but the new drugs that are out, it's interesting to me as I thought about it, I thought, they're not new to God. Those things have been here all the time. And the medical pharmacists and those that study medicine, they're just discovering what God already knew is that he made for the world to have. The technology, our smartphones, they are obsolete after a year. After about a year, there's new ones come out that have a lot more features on and a lot smarter. And yet, none of that is new to God. That technology, that the science that produces those things, none of that is new to God. They're not producing anything new. They're just finding out what God already knew. God is the source of all knowledge. And if we want to be really wise, according to this passage, if you look back in chapter 2, you're going to find in verse 1, my son, if, and in verse 3, yea, if, verse 4, if. So there's three ifs, and it says, if you do these things, if this is true in your life, you will be truly wise. And so we want to look at those three things to say, yeah, it's one thing to say, well, all of us think we're pretty smart. All of us wouldn't want to classify ourselves as a fool. We would think we're on the wise side, that if somebody, you know, that would be there. But the Bible tells us here that he says, if you're wise, these are three things that you need to do. And so that's what we want to look at today. The first one is if it says, if thou wilt receive my words. So the first thing the Bible tells us is that if we're going to be wise, truly wise, it says we're going to receive the words of God. And for that, I'm thinking The verse that came to mind was Hebrews 11:6, which says, "But without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Which reminds me that it's going to take effort. If you and I are going to be wise, we aren't born wise. That it's going to take some effort to say, here's something that you and I need to do. It's going to have to apply ourselves and become wise. And he says, if we do this, if we take God's word and say, I know there's a God, and I know that he'll reward me if I search for wisdom. He wants me to be wise, but it says I have to believe in his words, believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder, that if I search for him, I can find him. God's not a God that tries to hide himself or tries to hide wisdom, tries to hide knowledge. He wants us to learn that. And so he says, if you receive my words, you'll be wise. Second, if he says, if you seek for insight and understanding, if you seek for it, he said, it's going to take effort. I thought of Jeremiah 29:13. It says, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. The idea is to beg for knowledge, plead for insight, beg for common sense. A lot of what I see happening in politics today lacks common sense. My goodness, there's lots of examples we could quote, but I can see that in other. Can't you see that in other people? You say that's really dumb. Forget what we were doing the other day, and you said, that's stupid. That person's stupid. What were they doing? Oh, there was a car. There was a car with loud mufflers on it. There's a car in our block at around where we live that, for some reason, their muffler, we can hear them go by. We know and say, oh, there they go again. And there was a car following us, and we were sitting at a red light, and it was revving its engine up and down, and you could hear loud mufflers on it. And my wife said, they're really stupid. We can easily see it in other people. The foolishness and stupidity in them. But you know what? It's not far from our lives. On Friday, I did 3 gigs, which are musical programs. I don't know how I planned that, but it's like at the end of the day, I just flopped it in our couch and said, I'm bushed. But we did 3 gigs, each of them an hour long that day. And for some reason, the stupidity came out of me because I started playing a song in the wrong key. It was way too high. And you know how when you get too high, your voice breaks? Well, it happened. Right in the middle of the song, my voice screeched. And you'd think I'd have enough smarts to say, okay, we got to stop, move it down a key, a couple of keys, and do it right. But no, I figured I can do this. And so I sang the next line, and the same thing happened. And so finally we stopped and said, okay, we've got to move down. But I'm thinking, once would have been enough. I was so foolish to try it a second time, and it was wrong. But anyway, foolishness is not far from any of us. All we have to do is try to do something, and especially when you do it up in front of people. It's one thing to be foolish at home where nobody sees you. But it's another thing when you do it up front and make a fool out of yourself. But the Bible tells us that, first of all, we need to receive the word of God, believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Secondly, he says, if you search for insight and understanding, I'll be glad to give it to you. I thanked Don this morning. I thanked him for his study of the word of God, that it took time to study and to prepare. And he said, isn't that what we're all supposed to do? It's like, yeah, right. He's right. That's the most important thing in life, is to study God's word. If we're not teaching, you know, it's easy for, well, it's, I don't know if easy is the right word, but if I have to preach, that means I'm going to study because I don't want to make a fool of myself when I stand up here and have nothing to say. So we study. But isn't it important for, even if we don't have to produce, don't have to do something, present a message, isn't it just as important for our own personal benefit to search the wisdom of God and put that inside of us so that we can live wisely. God says it's so important. But third, if is in verse 4. If you thou seekest for her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures. And again, the verse came to mind in Matthew. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field. Then when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has and buys that field. Do you and I look at the word of God and say, this is the treasure? This is the most important thing in my life. It's a book that never changes. There's new encyclopedias come out. There's new Wikipedia. I'm not sure I'm saying that right. Anyway, there's new information and revisions come in there over and over again because that's limited knowledge. They're learning. But this book is eternal knowledge. It never changes. It's true yesterday, today, and forever. He says, look for it. Search in there as if you were searching for a treasure. It's the search for all wisdom comes from God's word. Even as you searching for a pastor and your leadership is searching for wisdom and saying, God, lead us and guide us. That's so important to pray and to beg God to say, give me all the wisdom we can have in that search so that we choose the right man, so that we find the right person. Pray and beg God for wisdom in that area too. It reminds me, this is a dumb illustration, but it's the only one I could think of at the moment. You know I like hunting. And this reminds me of the search that I go through for hunting. We get up, we get everything ready. What's the three things I always, when I leave home, I say, I got to have these three things if I'm going to hunt. What is it, a gun, ammo, license? Oh, there's four. I need clothing too. But anyway, I need my hunting clothing. And I always go through this list to make sure I got everything before I leave, because you just don't want to be out in the woods without a license or without, you know, without the things that are necessary. But anyway, we get up early in the morning. It's dark. It's cold outside. And we look at each other usually in the morning and say, why are we doing this? Because I'd rather stay in bed. But it's that search to say, I know that there's a possibility of getting a deer. And so we stumble through the woods and try not to use a flashlight as more than we have to end up scaring the deer away. And so inevitably, we trip over a rock, we step on a twig, and it's never a silent walk into our stands. But we sit there, we have pre-made stands, so we climb up the ladder and sit in our stand and get everything set, get my crossbow sitting there, make sure the safety is on and make sure the arrow is knocked and it's ready to go. And then we sit there and it's dark. And about the time you're frozen and thinking again, why am I doing this? And you remind yourself that there's a possibility that I could shoot a deer today. And probably 9 out of 10 times I sit out there, nothing ever happens. But there's always that possibility that deer is going to be there. And then as it gets to be a little light, you see shadows and you think, that's a deer. And as soon as it gets a little lighter, it's like, that's just something else, you know. But you're sitting there, and once it gets light, you're thinking, and then the sun lays on you and you start to warm up. And it's like, I know now why I'm out here. This is fun. But the truth is all of that effort we go through, we know that we're searching for a deer. We know that there's a possibility. And this year the Lord rewarded me with two. I think I told you that. And so we have lots of meat in the freezer. But that search, I look at it and say, that's a lot of effort. And many people, and believe me, that effort is, that search, that drive to do that search is getting less and less the older I get. It's like, this might be getting too much pretty soon. But I thought of that, and I thought, all the effort I go through just to shoot a deer. No offense, but am I that conscientious when it comes to studying God's word and searching for wisdom? Because God says he will reward. When I go hunting, I don't know if I'm going to get a deer, and yet I'm out there searching. But God says, No, he says, if you search for me, you will find me. And if you search for wisdom, he says, I will give it to you. It is in here, and we know that we will be rewarded. And yet sometimes we carelessly and foolishly put off. So many times we're busy. We think we're pretty smart, and maybe we can get by today without searching for that wisdom. Lots of things go through our minds. Satan will use every excuse possible for us not to get into the wisdom of the Word of God. Those are the three ifs. The truth is if you receive my words, if you seek for me, seek for insight and understanding, and if you search for wisdom like you're searching for a treasure, God says, I'll give it to you. But look what he says in verse 5. He doesn't say right away that you're going to get wisdom. He says, if you do these three things, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You remember the verse that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And so he says, first of all, you're going to find out that when you search God's word, you'll begin to realize how wise it really is, and you'll begin to reverence the Lord. He said, you'll give him that worship and that honor that he deserves because you'll find out how true it is and how right it is. It says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth. He says, first thing you're going to find is like, this is really important. God is the source of wisdom and I need to worship him. And I trust that's why you're here today, to say, I know that the word of God's important. I know that God is the source of wisdom. And the more I listen, the more I learn, the more I experience God, I learn to worship him. I learn to revere him in my life and respect him. That reverence, we sang the song, opening song today, his majesty, his glory, his honor. We all understand that. The more we read the wisdom of God, the more we respect him. And that's true knowledge. That's the foundation. That's the starting point. They always say if you get the right starting point, you'll find the right end. But if you start at the wrong place, you're never going to find what you're searching for. And so it's so important to understand that if we do these things, we can be wise. I know lots of people have told me that the Bible is just too hard to understand. Folks, sometimes I'll talk to them and I'll say, well, the Bible's an old book. It's not for today. And besides, I've tried reading it, and it just doesn't make any sense. I remember one fellow who came to our church. And they came to our church. He came to our church just because his aunt invited him. And she invited him over and over again. For years, she'd invite him to a special service, a Christmas service, Easter service or something. And he'd say, nah, I'm not interested in that stuff. But she kept bugging him. And finally, he thought, you know what? If I go one time, she might let me alone. And so he decided to go. And I'll never forget, he walked in the door, we tried to make him feel welcome, and at the end of the service, he walked down the aisle and received Christ as his Savior. I had the great privilege in weeks after that of helping him lay a good foundation for his faith, and we became good friends. And he made after a few weeks, he said, you know, although I came with the idea that the Bible wasn't for me, and that it couldn't be understood, he said, now I'm hooked. He said, I'm hooked for life because, he said, I can understand the Bible. It makes perfect sense. Why did it make perfect sense? Because of a heart change. He began to read the Bible and it began to make sense now because he, as the first one says, you must receive my words. You must believe in me. Believe there is a God and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He said something else that I never forget. He said, I'm 50 years old, and I've wasted much of my life not knowing God's wisdom and the joy it is to know the wonderful family of God. And I thought, that is so true. The wisdom of God in creating a church, in learning God's word, we miss out on the most important aspect of life when we miss out on the wisdom of God. Yep. Real wisdom of God. If I spend more time in his word each day and how it applies to my life, it'll never be a waste of time. In fact, it's a waste of time not to study God's word. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And yet, isn't it true? The old saying says, out of sight, out of mind. And since God can't be seen with our physical eyes, guess what we do? We put it out of our mind. And that's just human nature. And yet I'm either wise or foolish, the choices I make to study God's word. May God give me wisdom that I'm not a foolish enough to think that I know better about my life than he does. May we all spend more time in his word, studying and preparing our hearts. For more than 30 years, archaeologist Howard Carter searched the deserts of Egypt for something that most people thought didn't exist. The tomb of King, I'm just going to call him King Tut. He has a long name, but we'll call him King Tut. Most experts believed that everything in the Valley of the Kings had already been discovered, but Carter continued his search. And eventually, after 5 more years without results, his sponsor from England declared that he would stop funding the search. But Carter kept on searching as long as he had money. His money was going to run out, and he was going to have to stop. But in 1922, I believe it was, 1922, his final search, a season of work, he uncovered the hidden staircase near the tomb of Ramses the Sixth. And Carter had indeed located that staircase that led down to the tomb of King Tut, one of the greatest archaeological finds of the day. Carter's search was driven by his firm belief that there was a treasure to be found. Although he could not be certain or correct, he believed that it was there. Unlike Carter, we have the assurance that if we search for wisdom, search to know God, we can find it. That we will have the assurance that there is wisdom in the Word of God. There is wisdom in knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have that assurance. We're not hoping so. We're not guessing so. It's an assurance that God will reward our search. So I trust today that each of us will search and keep searching. First of all, to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, to have that assurance of eternal life, but also to search for the Word of God and the way that we should live our lives every day. May we never stop our search for wisdom, because wisdom only comes from God. He is the source of our wisdom. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father,